love about God is that he just doesn't send Jesus to save us and then leave us dangling to deal with all the things we have to deal with. He gives us his Spirit and his Word to pour his wisdom, godly wisdom, powerful wisdom, wisdom that works, into our hearts. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series, Wisdom to Transform Your Life. So it's the last week that you'll be able to request the free life application booklet that goes along with this series. I'll tell you how you can do that shortly. But as we share this time together today, I'm praying that God will truly give you the wisdom that you need for today and for your future by his Spirit and his Word. One of the reasons that we have conflict in our lives, not the only reason by any means, but one of the main ones, is because we brought it on ourselves. Let's do a quick stock take of your relationships, the ones that aren't going so well at the moment, the ones where the harmony of the relationship has been disrupted by conflict, by a misunderstanding, by a harsh word, and the longer it goes on, the more entrenched our position becomes, right? Okay. So thinking about those relationships honestly, how much of it was your fault? And even if up front it didn't start out as your fault, what opportunities have you allowed to slip by without stepping out and resolving the conflict? Psalm 34 verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Short and sweet, but actually it's a verse that's jam-packed with wisdom. The first bit is pretty obvious. Depart from evil. But all too often, we use that as a bit of an excuse when it comes to conflict. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. I didn't start it. It's up to them to say sorry. But God doesn't give us that luxury. Depart from evil and do good. Doing good is a proactive step. Doing good is grabbing hold of a situation and resolving it, even if in your mind you weren't the one that started it. Doing good is about seeking peace, and seeking involves getting up off your behind, figuring out a way through, and making it happen. Peace, I mean real peace, only happens when both parties are happy with the outcome. But whilst seeking peace is about being proactive, God takes it even one step further. He doesn't just want us to seek it out, he wants us to pursue it. The original Hebrew word there for pursue carries with it a sense of chasing it down, to harass, in a sense that you get it, to aim to secure it, to be ardent and persistent about it. I wonder when you consider just this one short verse and what it really means, the different light that it casts on your relationships and their conflicts. I love this. Just 11 words in that verse, and yet powerful wisdom that can last for a lifetime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So being the one who brings peace into a relationship, even though it requires humility and sacrifice and not getting your own way all the time, is a powerful witness of the love and the reconciliation that's available in Jesus Christ. Peacemakers, through their peacemaking, speak the love of Christ into the hearts of their enemies. And that, after all, is exactly what you and I are on this earth to do. But beyond being a proactive peacemaker, there's another way in which you and I can apply God's wisdom to our relationships. Sometimes the things that we do, albeit that they're innocent, albeit that they're not wrong per se, bring conflict and strife into a situation. Have you been there? And when the other person gets upset with you, you're left wondering, hang on, what did I do wrong? Yeah, we've all had that experience. And believe it or not, that very situation is something that God's Word has some wisdom on. I love this. I love it how God has thought all these things through and poured out his wisdom through his Word. Back when Christianity was being birthed out of Judaism in the first century, there was some conjecture and dispute over what people could eat and not eat. Pork, was it in or out? Were shellfish in or out? We take all that for granted today, but back then it was a big deal. Those who understood the grace and the freedom they now had in Christ understood that they were free to eat anything. but they were prone to criticize those who still thought the old way. And yet the Apostle Paul turns around to them and says this, Romans chapter 14, verse 13, "Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of another." So in other words, don't use your freedom to be a stumbling block to others. He goes on to say that if what we do is going to be a stumbling block to others in their faith, we should curb our freedoms for their sake. In a world that's so focused these days on individual freedoms, what a powerful message that is. When you think of it, much of the conflict in our lives arises out of our assertion of individual rights. "But I'm entitled," is what we so often think. And yet, according to God's wisdom, there is something more important to the things that we think we're entitled to, and that thing is preserving peace in our relationships. Because after all, when you boil it all down, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God isn't about food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many times have you and I disrupted the peace when all along we could not only have kept the peace, but built up and encouraged those around us? Romans 14, 19, "Let us therefore pursue what makes for peace and for mutual building up." So beyond just peace, you and I have the opportunity through the things we choose to do day by day, and importantly through the things we choose not to do or to say, to build others up, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to serve them by helping them to grow. What a privilege to be in a position where we can sacrifice our entitlements to serve others. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. Now, that life application booklet that I mentioned earlier is called Wisdom to Transform Your Life, and it builds on the teaching in this series, also having some questions at the end of each chapter to help you to apply God's Word right into your life. And I'd love to send you a free copy of this booklet. You can request it online at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the free offer at the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and the free e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. If you are able to stop by online, don't forget to check out Christianity Works TV on the homepage. You can actually watch this week's message on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. That's Christianity Works TV. But back to that free life application booklet again. It's called Wisdom to Transform Your Life. And that website, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. Hop online right now. Check out all the other free resources and downloads, like the Media Lounge. And may you be blessed mightily as you receive the Word of God into your heart. Now, every morning, we get up out of bed and we have to face yet another day. Some days it's going to be a good day. Other days, not so much. So what wisdom does God have for you today? I don't know how it is for you, but for me, wherever I happen to be, every morning starts pretty much the same way. I wake up, shave, clean my teeth, shower, get dressed, have breakfast, and then it's off to work, or if it's a weekend, mostly it's time for rest. As of today, I have lived 21,163 days on this earth. And other than the fact that I didn't have to shave when I was young and I went to school rather than to work, each day has started pretty much the same way. It's a bit scary when you think of it like that, isn't it? But for each and every day that you and I have left on this earth, God has some powerful piece of wisdom ready and waiting. The first piece of that I'd like to share with you today is this, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That was written at a time of complete devastation. Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed, and God's people had either been killed or taken into captivity to Babylon. Sometimes our lives feel like that too, complete devastation, either because something bad has happened to us or because we, through our own stupidity, through our own sin, have brought it upon ourselves. But each and every day, no matter how bad things were yesterday, no matter how dark it was during the night for you, the sun comes up, right? Nothing stops the sun from coming up. And it's exactly the same with God's steadfast love for you. It never ceases. When you open your eyes each morning, you can be absolutely certain of two things. Either the sun has or soon will come up, and the steadfast love of the Lord for you hasn't failed. In fact, just as the sun does its thing each and every day for you, so the mercies of the Lord are new for you each and every morning. But I don't deserve it. No, neither do I. But that's the whole point. Mercy is only mercy when it's undeserved. And the completely undeserved favor of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the steadfast love of God is new for you each and every morning. That means that you can roll out of bed, put your feet on the ground, open your eyes, and rejoice. You can live each moment of today, the good, the bad, the ugly, filled with the joy of the Lord, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And that's why before the day begins, I want to tap into those mercies. After my morning ritual of shave, teeth, shower, make a cup of coffee, the very next thing that happens for me is that I wander into my study, I close the door, and I spend half an hour or so with God. Now, the big temptation is to get distracted. What's come in on the email overnight? How many likes did I get on Facebook? What's in the news? These days, technology being what it is, the whole world is ready and waiting for you in the palm of your hand. And I think it's because of that that we've forgotten how to settle down quietly and spend some time with God, to, in essence, wait on God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The concept of waiting for anything these days is almost like, hang on a minute, why do I want to wait for something? We live in an instant world. Hey, most of us get touchy when the internet's running a bit too slow or if two people ahead of us in the ATM queue are mucking around. Wait, wait! But just let these words sink into your heart. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul that seeks him. How do you kick your mornings off? Is there any time there for waiting on the Lord? Just yesterday, I was having a conversation with a man about exercise, and he said, I don't really have time. So I asked him, do you have time to get sick? Do you have time to be tired and drowsy? Because there's some of the consequences of not getting enough exercise. So if perhaps you find yourself too busy to wait on God, let me ask you, do you have time to miss out on the goodness of God? Because that's the full effect of this scripture here. God is good to those who wait for him. And that word wait means to look for eagerly, to hope, to expect, to anticipate, to linger in that place. I think in this world of 24/7 connectivity and instant gratification, so many people are missing out on the goodness of God in their day because they've forgotten how to wait on him. So here's the challenge that I believe God is setting before you today. Build in just a bit of time, 10, 15, 20 minutes of quiet time alone with him, and spend some of it just waiting on God. Reading his word, yes. Praying, yes. But also waiting quietly, hoping, expecting, anticipating the goodness of God, because he is good to those who wait for him. And that goodness is something that never ever leaves you the whole day long. Sometimes you read a story in the Bible and you kind of gloss over it without realizing how powerful and profound it is. Here's a great example. The Israelites have just escaped from slavery in Egypt, and Pharaoh and his army, the greatest army on the earth at the time, are about to chase them and destroy them. Scary times. But here's something interesting that we're told about how God behaved in this situation. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Well, that's not quite true, because in the next chapter we read that God positioned this pillar behind the Israelites, between them and the pursuing Egyptian army to protect them. That being said, for the next 40 years, that pillar of cloud and fire never left them in the wilderness. Well, okay, I guess most of us have heard that story 100 times. Yeah, sure. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. I get it. But do you? Really? You see, what's so powerful about this back in that day, and in fact still today, is that all the other gods that the other nations worshipped lived in temples that were built on hilltops. The gods didn't come to the people, indeed they couldn't, so the people had to go to their temples to worship them. But the God of Israel went on the journey with his people back then. That was a mind-blowingly radical concept. In fact, if you travel to countries where there is a lot of idol worship, it's still a mind-blowingly radical concept. This idea that God is on the journey with you to protect you from your enemies, to give you shelter from the harsh sun by day, and to give you warmth and light by night. But that's exactly what's going on in your life right now. If you believe in Jesus, the presence of God never leaves you. God is on your journey with you to guide, to protect, to shelter, and to love you every step of the way, just as he was with Israel. Only now he's put his Holy Spirit in you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. So, the upshot of all that is that every step you take, you can take in the confidence that your God, your mighty, loving, powerful, wonderful God, is on your journey with you. You can actually live your life as though it's true, because it is. I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. But again, because this is the very last week that it'll be available, I want to remind you that that life application booklet that goes along with this series is called Wisdom to Transform Your Life. And right now, I'd love to send you a free copy. To request yours, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com. Again, you'll see that free offer right there at the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It's that easy. And while you're there, don't forget there are so many other free resources available, like Christianity Works TV. You can watch this week's teaching on our weekly television broadcast. And of course, you can have instant access to Fresh, the free daily Christianity Works e-devotional. Words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to your inbox each and every day. It's all about helping you to live every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. But back to that free booklet again. It's called Wisdom to Transform Your Life, and that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, if only we could see into the future, if only we knew what was coming so we could prepare for it. And yet, would you really want to know what's coming? Would you really want to know the day and the hour of your death? I don't think so. What we do need, though, you and I, is some real wisdom when it comes to our future. If the truth be known, our past is completely out of our control. Of all the things in our lives that are out of our control, the past is the biggest one, because no matter what you do, you cannot change the past. And so what many people do is they turn their attention to the future. What's going to happen? What's next? Will it be something good or something bad? I mean, we're always hoping for something good, right? Our default position is that life should be a bed of roses 100% of the time. But you know, there are little things that niggle away at us. A dark cloud emerging over here, an ill wind blowing over there. And before you know it, you're worrying about your future. In fact, if you took a stock take of your thoughts over just the next 24 hours, you might well be surprised just how much of your time you spend worrying about your future. So if perhaps you have those negative thoughts swirling around in your head and in your heart, here's a word from God to set you free, because that is what God's word does. It sets us free in a way that nothing else can, in a way that no one else can. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? Good question, Jesus. Who, by worrying, can add a single hour to their life? In other words, worrying doesn't produce a single positive outcome, not a one. In fact, these days, doctors will tell you that worry causes stress, and stress can actually cut your life short. Do you believe that God loves you or not? Well, if you do, then you can go on and live your life as though that's true, because it is. He does love you. According to Jesus, not me, you understand, according to Jesus, he will provide your every need. And that means you no longer need to worry about anything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. There's absolutely no point in worrying about tomorrow. There are no surprises there for God. There's nothing there that he can't handle. Keep your eyes on today and be the best you that you can be today. Because your ultimate tomorrow, your ultimate destiny, is a heavenly prize that's beyond anything that you or I could imagine. When we think about the future, we mostly just think about our future here on this earth. That's what appears most important at the moment. What's going to happen to my health, my finances, my marriage, my children? Where am I going to live if things don't go the way I'd planned? We have plans, you see, and anything that looks like it's going to disrupt those plans, even if actually God has something much better for us than we'd planned, we get all touchy and we start to worry about it. But let's lift our eyes for a moment and look at the eternal destiny that God has for you and me. Because eternity, compared to our days here on this earth, is an incredibly long time, right? Yes, we suffer on earth. Yes, there are tears and there's pain and there are things in your life right now that you wouldn't have wished upon yourself. But they're there and that's it. In the middle of that reality, in the middle of your reality, God has this to say to you today. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's about to be revealed to us. There's just no comparison between then and now, because one day in the not too distant future, the home of God will be among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things will have passed away. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. See, that's where your life is headed if you believe in Jesus. That's the ultimate destiny. That's the certain hope, the rock-solid certain hope that God is giving you today. And I believe that he wants you and me to accept that certain hope into our hearts right now. Whatever suffering you're traveling through right at the moment, you have a future that is beyond anything you can ever imagine, ready and waiting for you. And Jesus has gone ahead to get things ready. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, he said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." So my friend, take courage today. Your life is headed towards an eternity in the presence of God, an eternity where you will worship him, enjoy him, be with him without end. And the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to you soon. Isn't it? It's fantastic news, and it's news that we here at Christianity Works want to shout from the rooftops. That's why this program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy the devil doesn't want millions of people each week hearing about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favour? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because that's our heart, and that's God's heart, is to reach the unreached with His love. We receive so many letters and emails from people in the UK, in Europe, around the world, Africa, Asia, the Pacific nations, telling us how powerfully God has used His word to radically transform people's lives. That's why we do what we do here at Christianity Works. So if you're serious about praying with me, check out this month's prayer points at ChristianityWorks.com. And while you're there, don't forget that there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like marriage and family, adversity, suffering, lots more. God's word is so powerful. So check out that Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive the Word of God into your heart. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again soon, right here on Christianity Works, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.